Tomorrow on the program, Senator Tammy Baldwin will join us during the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock tomorrow, candidate for Congress Mark Newman in the 3rd District. 10 o'clock, Kia Vakil, the national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, parent of Up North News. And we will talk about more of this week's big headlines. If you missed it yesterday, we had 3 of the 4 candidates on for the 3rd Congressional District who are running to succeed Ron Kind. And there was a little bit of news there, perhaps not surprising, but maybe to some based on the reaction we saw online. And that was coming from State Senator Brad Paff, who has received Ron Kind's endorsement to succeed him in Congress and is endorsing him over the 3 other Democrats in the race. It's not easy for anybody in a 4-candidate field to stand apart from the others, you know, in a single party by and large. But Brad Paff managed to do that yesterday by answering my question of, you know, his reaction to his former boss, Ron Kind, being one of only 5 Democrats to vote against the assault weapons ban, which was proposed last week. And Brad Paff indicated that he felt the same way, that he would not necessarily support an assault weapons ban. He did note that weapons of war have no place on our streets and that he would support red flag laws and closing loopholes and expanded background checks. And all of those things are fine ideas. But there was an assault weapons ban from 1994 to 2004. Mass shootings went down when it was in place. Mass shootings skyrocketed when Republicans let it expire in 2004. Some of the framing around an assault weapons ban is that, you know, the government is out to take our guns. And as you're going to hear me say quite frequently, nobody wants your damn guns. If you're a hunter who, you know, is a law-abiding citizen, it has nothing to do with that. And the original assault weapons ban did not take away guns that already existed, guns that were already on the streets. It banned the new sale of assault weapons and the manufacture of them and the importation. But all of the assault weapons that existed prior to 1994 were grandfathered in. And keep that in mind when people say, well, the assault weapons ban, you know, didn't really work. It had a negligible impact, if any. Well, sure, because every other assault weapon was still on the streets. It wasn't a ban as if nobody can own one. It was a ban on the sale of new ones, putting more guns in the pipeline. Bottom line, it worked. 2004 came during the George W. Bush administration. Republicans were in control of Congress, allowed it to expire. We have seen what has happened with mass shootings since. The framing around this is that, you know, government's taking our guns and we like to hunt with our guns. We have a heritage. Whenever you hear heritage or culture, pay attention to what's behind that. Because, yeah, you may have a heritage or a culture of something. That is not a get out of jail free card for any attempt to alter behavior. And in this case, the behavior is maybe we shouldn't have assault weapons, semi-automatic weapons, you know, easily put into people's hands where they can commit more mass shooting. Rebecca Cook, one of the other candidates, said it most succinctly yesterday that she does believe in the culture of hunting in Wisconsin, but that nobody needs an AR-15 in deer camp. That's it. Simple as that. Nobody's taking hunting rifles. Nobody ever was. So Brad Paff made some news yesterday about that. But I also want to be fair and talk about the political impact of that and how that may actually help him. We've talked repeatedly about how the 3rd Congressional District is very divided, very evenly split, Democrats, Republicans, and which way the independent voters are going to go. So by taking that more moderate position, however distasteful it may be to gun safety advocates, that may be what Paff needs to either come out of the primary, and it certainly will help him in the general election when you've got the entire swath of the electorate. So what he's got to do now with that position and with the heat he's taking from some Democrats is withstand that and come through the primary. He's either going to not come through that primary because Democrats didn't see him as serious enough about gun safety, or he is going to come through that primary because people appreciated, quote unquote, his more moderate position on not being real keen on an assault weapons ban. So we will, you know, find out on Tuesday what that means for Brad Paff taking that kind of an approach.
Yeah, and Pat, if any of the listeners out there in the audience want to go check out the podcast, if you go over to Spotify, we've got the Up North News podcast with Pat Kreitlow on Spotify. So you can like, subscribe, rate the show on there, and you'll be able to listen to all three of the interviews that you had yesterday on your smart device through Spotify.
Question from an old man here. What is Spotify? I've seen Spotify. I've heard of Spotify. Here's what I know about Spotify. I have a MacBook, and on startup,
and it doesn't
Spotify
work.
Spotify always starts up.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't have an account. I don't want an account. I have Apple Music, and I have these things called CDs. I might even have some cassettes lying around. But you know, Spotify always comes up. I'm like, no, I don't need you.
It's fair enough. It's an excellent question, Pat. Pretty much, Apple was late to the game. If you remember the iTunes Store when it first started, Apple always charged you 99 cents per song. So if you wanted to be able to amass a large library on Apple, you had to pay per song or per album. And so Spotify came along as a platform that you subscribe to monthly, but you can have unlimited access to all of the music, podcasts, and everything that Spotify hosts through their service. And so Spotify was kind of one of those things. I want to say probably picked up steam about 2012, where Apple Music wasn't doing a subscription-based service until much later in the game, probably like 15 or 16. So Spotify was kind of one of those that is now a huge platform for music, podcasts, and a ton of different audio mediums because they got into the subscription service first.
Including us now.
Including us now.
That's nice. I'm not going to do it. I know what I sound like. I get to listen to myself for 3 hours a day. And working from home, this is the most I have spoken in a very long time. You know, my wife talks to people all day long and then comes home and just wants peace and quiet, but I'm talking her ear off because I finally have somebody to talk to. So y'all are really helping my marriage here because now I have you to talk to instead. And that way, all I have to do, you know, when she comes home from work is have the old fashioned ready, push it across the counter, and then we can both decompress from a very busy work day. I promised we were going to talk a bit about some of the other states that were going, having primaries yesterday. And Arizona, you know, they just went bat crap crazy, essentially, with Carrie Lake, again, another former media personality, I think TV news anchor, winning the GOP primary for governor. And so, you know, we've got, a full-blown, you know, right-winger, you know, who is coddling attacks on democracy, running to be governor of a state. And Rusty Bowers, who you may recall is the Speaker of the House in the Arizona legislature, testified before the January 6th committee about the ways Trump was trying to influence him, as he did in Wisconsin and elsewhere, to monkey around with the election results. Rusty Bowers lost his primary. So it's not just that a few Republican politicians are still part of the Trump cult. There's a lot of voters out there that are still feeling like they're buying into, they're either buying into the narrative that you know, Trump actually won, or there was some monkey business, or you know, for whatever reasons they have, they've just decided, yeah, this is the way we're going right now. And, you know, so what if it leads us to, you know, authoritarian leadership? So you also have a right winger who emerged from the Arizona primary for U.S. Senate. So Arizona is going to be one to watch now that we come to the general election and see how voters turn out. As we learned from another state last night, you can't just assume in Arizona that all those Republicans are going to win in the general, because again, now you get to go to all the voters. And that's what happened last night in Kansas, where there was a measure on the ballot that had voters overwhelmingly decide that they were not going to remove abortion rights from the state constitution. A huge, surprising victory for, you know, for people who believe in a woman's choice, who believe in, you know, medical matters being decided between a doctor and their patient, not doctor, patient, and the government. It was evidence of the continued backlash that there's going to be about the way the right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court decided to repeal Roe versus Wade. They said, we're going to kick it to the states. That's what we have to live with right now. It should be a nationally, constitutionally enshrined right to abortion care, to choice. But we don't have that. It's being kicked back to the states. And Kansas was the first one to actually ask its state's voters to say, what do you want to do? And quite surprisingly, the vote was 60 to 40, essentially, a 60-40 split, saying that they will not tolerate an extreme ban on abortion. So again, all bets are off after the primary. We're going to be talking for six more days about what Rebecca Clefish has to say about Tim Michaels and what Tim Michaels has to say about Clefish. And of course, they're both dumping on Tony Evers. But, you know, one will emerge, but then has to go to the general public in Wisconsin. And as we've learned in most state elections, when you vote statewide in Wisconsin, Wisconsin remains a blue state, marginally, but remains a blue state, with very few surprises, except, say, Ron Johnson 6 years ago, when, as we discussed early, in the last hour, he had, tens of millions of dollars in support from billionaires. He's getting that again this time, but, whether he gets a third term remains to be seen. By and large, Wisconsin as a state votes Democratic. The legislature should be, in Democratic control right now, by a very narrow margin, but still in control, but it's not, because of gerrymandering. So it really comes down to that turnout. Robert Craig from Citizen Action talked about that in the last hour of the door knocking that they do to help people understand their vote matters and that they are going to be asked not just by candidates and parties, but by these independent groups to think about the positions that these candidates are taking. Don't just vote because there's an R next to their name or a D next to their name, for that matter. Do it because you understand where they stand on a certain position. In this case, where they stand on democracy itself. Do they believe in a free and fair election, or do they want to see government actually picking winners and losers the way that Trump Republicans have been advocating for? To that end, Donald Trump is coming back to Wisconsin. He's coming on Friday for a rally in support of Tim Michaels, the candidate that he has endorsed over Rebecca Clefish in the race for governor. It says on his announcement that he's going to speak in support of Michaels and the entire Wisconsin Trump ticket. Not that the entire Trump ticket will be there. It appears that Senator Ron Johnson, has another matter. Something's come up. I know, my arm is broken. Okay, I can't go. So there's still some distance that's being put there against the Trump wing, even by somebody like Ron Johnson, who says, well, he just doesn't want to get involved in primaries. Johnson has his own reckoning to deal with, especially after, again, saying yesterday that Social Security and Medicare ought to just be turned into discretionary spending. And that is wild. It is right in line with the Republican Senate plan put forward by Senator Rick Scott from Florida that says, you know what we ought to do? We ought to scrap everything the federal government does after 5 years and then hold it up for a vote again. Really? That's, you think things are crazy now. You want every year to tell seniors whether they will or won't have a certain level of Social Security, they will or won't have a certain level of Medicare benefits, to tell people that they will or won't, in their workplace, have healthcare coverage, be able to access Medicaid and what have you. Good luck with that. But that's the chaos theory that we're looking to get from Ron Johnson if he's able to, if he were to get his way. Still to come in the program here, we are bringing back Kirk Bankstead and Kristen Lyerly. The Wednesday Night Crew is getting back together for an hour, and we'll have a guest as well. That's coming up next. You're up north.